Chapter 1, starting in verse 13 and verse 14, it says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, whom the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession for the praise of his glory." Does that sound familiar to anybody? Why does it sound familiar? How much? What's that? I preached almost a whole message on it on Sunday. But we're going to look at it again tonight. And so the gospel conveys the truth which is able to sanctify the believer or set the believer apart. Amen? So here's your first filling in the blank. But while hearing brings knowledge, while hearing brings knowledge, it does not bring salvation. It does not bring salvation. Lord, I pray tonight as we look in your word that God, that you would be glorified, that you would open our minds, open our hearts, open us up, Lord, to receive not from a teacher tonight or a preacher, but that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit tonight. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. So while hearing brings knowledge, it does not bring salvation. And these people, in the children in the church in Ephesus, they believed. With the heart, you believe unto salvation. With your mouth, confession is made, right? But it's with your heart that you believe. And so when they believed, it's okay, we'll try this again. So far, so good. All right. So when the children of Ephesus believed, they were then marked in him, showing that they were included in Christ. I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, it brings me great comfort and great joy to know that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God has marked me. I've branded cattle in my life. We've marked them in many different ways. You cut their ears, you dock their tail, you put a brand on them. There's a whole all these different ways to put your mark on a piece of livestock. And I think it's interesting that the Lord has put his very own mark on us. We've been branded. We have been claimed. Amen. You've been claimed. You have a mark on you that the Lord himself by his Holy Spirit put on you, showing that you and I are included in Christ. I am redeemed. I have been redeemed. Redemption's price has been paid for my life, even in all of my mess ups. Anybody besides the pastor mess up at all, ever? I don't know what bird that is, but...
Well, Pastor, you talked a couple of weeks ago. I haven't been here in a while. But it was about Nicodemus. He said, if you go back into your mother's room, will it be reborn?
Right.
And it really ministered to me because after that you said,
is spirit. You have to be saved by what you believe. You have to, with the heart, you believe, you confess. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, see, that's provision, that's on you. And there's a lot of people, and I've said this, and I'll say this, as long as I have a word in my mouth, I will always say this. There's going to be people that miss heaven by 18 inches. That's the distance between your heart and your head. You can have all the head knowledge you want, but if it hasn't gotten into your heart and changed you and motivated you to do something with your salvation, then that's a scary place to be. So what exactly did Paul mean by the seal, which he then identified as the promised Holy Spirit? In the ancient world, and here is your another fill in the blank, in the ancient world, a seal was a form of identification that was used to authenticate. It was used to authenticate and to protect legal documents. Did you ever think of yourself as something of a legal document? He has marked us as if we were a legal document. So where are you going, preacher? What I'm trying to say is that there is validity and there is legality to your salvation and mine. He owns the deed to your life and mine. Amen? He took it from the enemy. And now he has it. And so, a uniquely designed stone worn in the form of a ring or a necklace was what they used to mark a clay or wax on a document. They would put a blob of wax or whatever, and then they would take this ring or this necklace pendant or whatever, and they would put that inscription in that wax, and that document then became legal and binding. And so the Holy Spirit has put that mark on you and I. And so we are we've been bought with a price. I feel like I'm trying to convince somebody tonight that they've been purchased, that they've been redeemed, and it's legal. It's a legal transaction. In religious usage, the word seal means that the power of the deity protected the bearer and was available to you and I, to him or to her. And in the modern Greek, the word that was used for guarantee, which is your fill in the blank word, is guarantee. In the modern Greek, the word used for guarantee now means engagement ring. See where this is going? Engagement ring. Most married couples can remember clearly when, where, and how they agreed to get married. It's usually some kind of romantic or pleasant kind of story, but unfortunately, half of all couples who become engaged never make it down the aisle. Something happens or someone breaks the engagement. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14 says that the Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance for those who belong to Christ. I belong to Christ. How many of you tonight belong to Christ? And there ain't enough devils in hell can talk you out of the reality that I belong to Christ. I gave my life to Him. I've been baptized. All those things. I'm persuaded, the Bible said, that He is able to keep me against all of that. No power, no principalities or powers, no high things or exalted things can steal me from the love of God. I'm His. So here we go again. The Spirit is, in effect, our engagement ring. The Spirit is, in effect, our engagement ring that shows that we belong to Christ until our wedding day, the day that we go and be with Him forever. And our great confidence is this, that God, unlike most people, never breaks His promise. Have you ever had a promise broken? God will never break His promise. Ever. Ever. God will never break His promise. Your inheritance. How many of you know that you're a joint heir with Jesus? If you've claimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are now a joint heir with Jesus. What does that mean? That means that when somebody dies, there's an inheritance coming to those left behind in most cases, right? But somebody has to die for the inheritance to be validated, right? And so Jesus died. That makes us a joint heir. We receive the inheritance. So there's laid up for us a treasure in heaven. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. So whatever, if I'm a joint heir, then whatever is heired to Jesus is now also heired to me. How many of you think that's probably a pretty good deal? That's a pretty good plan. Why? Because I'm a joint heir. And my inheritance as a believer in Jesus Christ is certain. My inheritance is certain. And God will not renege on His pledge. He'll not do it. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Think about that. Matt, you want me to read that again? It was just that good, wasn't it? In His great mercy, not just in His mercy, but in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. How many of you know the first go around you were born into sin? You were born into death. You were born into doom and gloom. But now He's given us a new birth, and the new birth is into a living hope through and because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and puts us into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade, that is kept for us in heaven. For us. For us. Woo! Hallelujah. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, and he said this, God set His seal of ownership on us. God set His seal. He branded us. Set His seal of ownership on us, and He put His Spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Guaranteeing what is to come. How about Acts chapter 5? In Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 3, the Holy Spirit is here recognized as God. Peter said to Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And it cost him right then. It cost him. The Holy Spirit, here's another one of your fill in the blanks. He is active in man. The Holy Spirit of God is active. He's alive and well, and he's active in your life. And what he's doing is he's convicting us of sin and guiding the believer into all truth, as it talks about in John chapter 5 through chapter 15. Obviously, we don't have time to read that, but the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to convict us of sin and guide us into all truth. The Bible says that wherever there's temptation, he makes a way of escape. Amen? Any questions so far? You guys getting it, Dennis? Good job, buddy. That's good. I'm glad. You don't want me helping you, I can tell you that. Spell checker, baby, all the way. Yes, sir. Nope, you're still coming into the world, buddy. You're still coming into the world. You guys settle down over there. Do I want you to comment is the question. What are we looking for? And how does that come? That comes through relationship. The Holy Spirit guides us and directs us, but we have to listen to Him. Amen? I want to spend just a few minutes tonight talking about the Trinity. Just, we're not going to get into it really deep, but there are some things that I want for us to see here tonight. The Bible teaches that there's only one God, right? There's one God. The doctrine, though, of the Trinity is not explicit in the Old Testament, but it is implied. Okay? The doctrine of the Trinity is not explicit in the Old Testament, but it is implied. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Hebrew word for God is plural. Is plural. That name is Elohim. Elohim. Okay? In the Hebrew, the singular word for God is El, E-L. In Hebrew, the word for dual God is Elah. Okay, follow me here. In Hebrew, the word for a plural, three or more, God is Elohim. Elohim. It's all three in one. The evidence for the Trinity are explicit all through the New Testament. You read through the New Testament, you'll see the triune Godhead over and over and over and over. It's implied in the Old Testament. It's explicit in the New Testament. Because the Old Testament was the focus of God. The 33 and a half years, again, when Jesus was alive and walking here on this earth, those 33 and a half years, was the focus was on Jesus. Jesus died, buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit came in the beginning of Acts, and now we're living in this dispensation of grace by the Holy Spirit. But all through the New Testament, you see, when Jesus is baptized, you see the three persons of the Godhead. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, "And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and suddenly a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" All three members of the triune Godhead are visible and active in that baptismal service. Isn't that amazing? So in chapter 3, 16 and 17, all three persons of the Trinity, and here you're filling in the blank right here, are present and active. They are all present and active. The doctrine of the Trinity, which was developed later on in church history, teaches that God is three persons yet one in essence. And so God the Father speaks, we're talking about in this passage. God the Father speaks, God the Son is baptized, God the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove onto Jesus. God is one yet three persons at the same time. It is one of God's incomprehensible mysteries. We don't understand it. We are not going to understand it completely and totally until we are in their presence. Amen? And then we won't care. Yes, sir. Oh, the doctrine of the Trinity, which was developed later in church history, teaches that God is three persons, yet one in essence. Ralph. Right. And Jesus said, "I don't do anything that I don't hear my Father tell me to do." Didn't make any difference who told him. I'm not doing nothing that I don't hear from my Father. So that brings that congeniality together in their life. They did that. God speaks, the Son's baptized, the Spirit descends. God is one yet three persons at the same time. So moving on, I've got 7 minutes. And I'm not going to get far, but let me ask you this question tonight. In what way do you see the Holy Spirit at work in your life? I'm not asking you to answer it. I just want you to think about it. I want to spur you to think about how in your life do you see the Holy Spirit at work, whether it's last week or whether it's today? How do you see the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that places us into the body of Christ. Whose body is it according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27? It says this, "Now you," who's you? Specifically, he's talking to the church in Corinth. Yeah, all ye that are part of the body. All y'all. Yeah. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." We all make up. We all have a different function, but we all make up the body. Amen? So we've all got a part to play. The word "you" in verse 27 refers to all the believers across the world, not just the church in Corinth, not just the church in the New Testament time. It's talking about all across the world. And the next fill in the blank is all believers together are Christ's body. Now, having said that, tomorrow, when you get up, leave your left arm at the house and go to work. Let me know how that works. I'll be up and down the river. It's ridiculous because you can't leave your left arm at home and go to work. But yet, when you don't show up for church, Hello? I mean, do I need to say it? The body can't function correctly because we left part of it somewhere else. Somebody thinks it's more important to go over here and do this rather than be connected to the body. Don't be mad at me. It's His word. I'm just telling you what His word says. All believers together are Christ's body. As new believers come to salvation in Jesus, we join that body. We become a part of that body. And we receive at least one gift from the Holy Spirit to use to further the body of Christ. Boy, this is way better than you're responding. Okay. We receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, and we need to be used by God. Here's another fill in the blank. Therefore, each and every believer in the body of Christ is a separate and necessary part of that body. A separate and a necessary part of that body.
I like the idea of the typewriter. You've got all the keys. The A doesn't work. The W doesn't work. You can't write letters. That's what happens if you don't have each member of the body present.
Take the battery out of your automobile and see how far you get down the road. Take a tire off. See how well it goes down the road. It takes everything to make the vehicle or the typewriter or whatever else it is that you want to use for this illustration. Take one part of it away and it does not function correctly. If you get a car with no battery in it on a hill, it will still take you at least to the bottom of the hill. It's true. It will at least take you to the bottom of the hill. And so there are those that will say, well, see, it still works. Only to the bottom of the hill. Now what are you going to do? Something has to be repaired. Every believer in the body of Christ is a separate and necessary part of that body. No believer, here's your last, the last one, and I will close with this. What? Yeah, I'll get to him. Just give me a minute here. Just don't get ahead of me, sunshine. Easy does it there. Listen to me. Let me say it this way, the way you have it on your paper. No believer is unimportant. No believer is unimportant. Everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ is important in God's kingdom. Everyone has a gift to share in order to make the body function that much more effectively. that much more effectively. I remember when I was in youth ministry, I found an illustration of a guy that was a minister, and he wanted to do something of lasting value. He wanted to leave something of a legacy or a mark that he was there. And he had a great church, and it was in England, and he built this great cathedral, but he wouldn't let anybody come in and look at it. He wouldn't let anybody see it. He wouldn't let them come and help him. He did it all, you know, himself. Very few other peoples were helping him. And then when it was all completed, no windows, just a door. And when it was all done and completed, he opened it up for this grand opening celebration, if you will. And as each person walked into the building, he handed them a candle. And as they took the candle and went inside, they come to realize that there were no lights in the building. Just your candle. And the place was pretty full, and so when everybody's candles were lit and burning brightly, the place was very well illuminated. And this pastor got up and addressed the congregation, and he said, I want you to notice a few things. I want you to notice that there's no lights in here. I want you to notice that there's no windows for ambient light. I want you to notice that where you're seated today, because of your candle, it's illuminated and it's bright. And he said, what I want you to understand and what I want you to know is when you're not here, that place where you sit is going to be a little bit darker. And you need to come, and you need to always be a part, because if you're not here, this building is going to be a little darker because you're not here. And it's a great illustration of what we're trying to talk about here tonight, that we're all a part of the body. We all need to be in our place. We are the light of the world, and we need to let our little light shine. Amen? We need to let this little light of mine shine. Just saying. Yes. Amen. Light of the world. Any questions tonight? Yes, ma'am. Good on old Leroy. Good job, Leroy. He wasn't taking no for an answer, was he? Atta boy. Atta boy. Yep. Yes, it is. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that you have branded us, that you have marked us, that you have established us in your family and in your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that your promises are yea and amen. And I thank you that you said in your word that you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm so thankful for that. Lord, help us to recognize tonight and understand tonight the importance of us being who you called us to be as a member of your body. Not just what we would say a member of the church, a member of your body, functioning as a valid body part, doing what you created us to do. So Lord, I thank you for it. I pray that you watch over us. God, watch over each one of us the rest of this week. Lord, I just pray that you would go with us from here. Help us to let our light shine everywhere we go, in all that we do and all that we say. Lord, I pray again for those undiagnosed things. Lord, I pray for Jim and Randy tonight, Lord. I pray for their grieving this animal that they had to put down. Lord, be with them. I mean, it can be a traumatic thing. So, Lord, just be with them. Lord, I pray for this couple that we just put on the prayer chain, Lord, that are having all kinds of issues. Lord, and I pray for the Martin family tonight as they make preparations to memorialize Dan's life. And God, I look forward to Sunday. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a great, great time in your presence. Lord, I pray that souls would get saved, that lives would be forever changed and transformed from being in your presence. And I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week.